بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Approximately one quarter of our Islam is to promote love and kindness. Words, deeds, actions that will promote love, that will promote muhabbat, compassion and kindness. A person gets jannat just because of showing some kindness to an animal. So this love and kindness is an integral part of our deen. That is why the glorious acts that will take us is making salam, feeding and joining. So these are the acts that will elevate our status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making salam to people that we know, people that we don't know, kindness people that we know and people that we don't know. They don't have to be Muslims. We'll prefer Muslims but others as well. And similarly, we'll join up. Even people that are distancing themselves from us, but we'll take the courtesy to join them up, to show some compassion and some ta'alluq. Then severing and breaking up is something that is very strongly condemned. In قُدُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيسَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُصَلْ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So they break up, they distance themselves for no proper valid shari'i reason. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّعْنَةِ. Allah says, for such people, then they are being cursed. They will be distanced from the mercies of Allah Ta'ala. Du'as are not accepted. They are away from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So, what do they get out of fasting? What do they get out of standing the night? When they are breaking up, they are not joining, and they have got no proper valid reason to break a distance. Shaitan, he sends his armies to mislead people. And then daily, at night, he would take a record of the activity, whatever activity he had done, and he will take a report. So one will say, well, this person here, he was going for namaz, and I delayed him to perform the namaz, but with a delay. So all right, but not too grand. Person here, well, what I did was, I caused him to fight with someone. Alright? So it was an exchange of words, but we understand it's also not bad. It's also not good. And then, one shaitan that is on the corner, he says, you know, I incited the husband against the wife and the wife against the husband. Stirred one up against the other. So the wife said something, I thought, and the husband felt that she can't just say things, I also must stand up in my defense. I can't be just eating humble pie. She's saying something, I need to tell her and make her understand that I have also got some right and some respect. So it carries on, the wife says something and she is retaliating, or she is saying something and the husband is retaliating, until they reached a point where they couldn't manage and they broke ways. There was a divorce. So when there's a divorce, now both went their ways. Now this type of a breakup and severance is not just one sin, it's like a factory, an industry producing sins. Because now, the wife will go to her place and she will relate all the stories of the husband. Sometimes it will be amount of ghibat, backbiting. Sometimes it will be lies. Sometimes it will be gossiping. And sometimes it will be promoting a hate message, right? So this will carry on and it won't be done just one person. People will come to her and she will cry out all her grievances, and she can't be just speaking the truth. There must be some exaggeration. The husband on his side will be doing the same, exaggerating, all the counting all the evil of the wife. There'll be truth, and there'll be mistruths, there'll be misconstrued, there'll be exaggerations. And now, this has brought about a severance between two major families. Then, it doesn't end up there. When they separate from each other, then he's got emotions and feelings, and she's got emotions and feelings as well. So that emotions and the feelings, if they're not fulfilled in the right way, then they'll be fulfilled in the wrong way, in the haram way. So this gives rise to a factory of sins, an industry of sins. So shaitan, when he hears this report, he embraces that. Shaitan said, "No, you are supposed to be my deputy. You are my successor to my throne." He knows that this will end up in a severance of a whole community. People will be broken up. They'll be not talking to each other. Du'as are not accepted because they're not talking to each other. They are breaking away from each other, so there's going to be ghibat. And ghibat is worse than zina. They're going to have malice. They'll be malicious against each other. Then the night of Ramadan, the night of 15 Shaban, all the du'as are rejected. So shaitan says, "Now this is the person that is most suitable to be my deputy." And embraces him. So building the bridge, Allah Ta'ala encourages. Breaking and burning the bridge, that Allah Ta'ala discourages, and he condemns it, right? But now, in our deen, we have got certain parameters and certain limits, and we have to follow the parameters and the limits, right? Every person has got a right to take care and protect his property. He's got the right, and he's got it's permissible for him to protect his integrity, his wealth, and himself. And similarly, he's got a right, in fact, a duty to protect his deen. So, he's got a right to protect and defend himself, his property, his integrity, and his deen. If integrity is something important, wealth is something important that he can defend, then his deen also is something very important that he has to stand to its defense. He cannot have a double standard now, that when his person or his wealth is being attacked, then he comes to the defense. But if deen is being attacked, then he says, "Well, that's a deeny thing, it's a secondary thing, I don't have to come to the defense of deen." So that's double standards. In fact, to protect and defend the deen is much more important than defending yourself and your property. Because if the deen is not defended, and the deen is then downtrodden, broken down, then what's left? Is there anything left after that? There's nothing left thereafter. What's the use of life when there's no deen at all? So like it is important to defend your property, your wealth, and your integrity, then it's equally, in fact, more important to defend your deen. So when deen comes under attack, then we'll all get up and we'll try and defend the deen. So that will not amount to breaking the unity. It won't amount to disuniting. Otherwise, someone is breaking into your home and you say, "No, you mustn't attack the person because you're breaking the unity." You know that that is against reason, against logic. You've got the right to look after your property, so you've got the duty also to look after your deen. And protecting and standing in the defense of deen is like, in fact, more important than defending your own property, your wealth, and your integrity. So now, we're getting a lot of things coming up fly by night. Someone is making some statement. He is a little bit eloquent and he can speak the language well. And he's expressing himself and the thing is going viral. And people say, "No, let him say what he needs to say." So that's not the way. When he's attacking deen, or an important tenet of deen, then we need to come onto the rescue and the protection of deen against all these foreign, alien things, right? Anybody for that matter is trying to bring in alien things, things that don't belong to Islam, and is trying to forcing it into Islam. Like our property and our wealth, if someone is trying to force someone to our land, our property, or park his vehicle into our property, we won't allow it, it's my space. And if anybody says you are breaking unity, you are breaking family, he doesn't understand what's the meaning of unity and protecting your wealth, your deen, etc. So this is one area that we need to be understanding very well. But now, as much as you want to promote unity and muhabbat, but you may have situations where there are differences. Sometimes there are differences within the home, wife and the husband, there are problems. What do they do? Sometimes there is a problem and a fight between the partners in a business. The partners have a problem, so what do they do? Sometimes you have a problem in a community, what do they do? Sometimes you have a problem and a difference in a certain ruling of deen, then what do you do? You will say, now you're all breaking up the unity. No, there is a procedure. If there is a problem within the home, then there is a procedure. And Umar radiallahu anhu says, رُدُّ الْخُصُومَةَ إِلَىٰ ذَوِي الْأَرْحَامِ فَإِنَّ فَصْلَ الْقَضَاءِ يُورِثُ الدَّغَائِمِ. So if there is a problem within the home, then let the families get together and try and sort it out. Let it be a solution from within the house. Because if it's going to be thrown out in the open, person's dirty linen is thrown out, then that brings about a lot of malice and ill feelings. And that will make the process of reconciliation impossible or at least difficult. So if you can sort it out from within the house, it's even better than letting it be thrown out of the house, becoming difficult. So it's a marital problem. We know there's a process. How we go about it. In a partnership, there's a problem. Within the brothers, there's a problem in the winding of an estate. So there are processes. So similarly, when it's a dini matter, there's a difference, then there is a process. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. In ta'ifatani min al-mu'minin iqtatalu. So if there's a problem within the ranks of the Muslim, right, whether it's a dini issue, but there is a dispute in some matter in a community, what do they do? فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. The first step is, we'll try and see understand what's the problem. After we've understood the problem, then we'll try and bring about some type of a correction. Right? Understood? Without understanding, how can we intervene? We need to understand what's the problem, then we intervene, alright? You are wrong, and he's right, or he's right, and you are wrong, or both of you are wrong, you need to correct yourself, and you need to correct yourself as well. So that's the first step. When there's a problem, there's a dispute within the ranks of the Muslim. But if both aren't prepared to look for the reconciliation, trying to reconcile, but they're not interested, so then what do we do? Then by force we'll suppress both. Because you're not interested to conform with the spirit of Islam. Islam wants unity, wants love, and both of y'all are fighting and defying unity and love. So we'll, by force we'll try and suppress both. That's the second situation. The third situation is that the person, one party is right and the other party is not right. So we'll go on the side of the one that is right to suppress the one that is wrong. You know that he is wrong. We'll all go on this side and stop the oppression. That's the third situation. Now the fourth thing that is most important is this, that how do we make out who is right and who is not right? So that Quran Sharif says, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. So the best person to employ is the person that is competent. The person is not competent, he doesn't know the subject, he hasn't covered it completely. Can he intrude, can he go into it? If it is about LG, etc. And someone is not very competent on the subject, and he says, now this person became a shaheed. So is he competent enough to make a ruling? Competence means he studied the subject very well. Now, the community that was wrong was the people of Lut alayhi salam. And in the Quran Sharif, about 7 places this story has been repeated. And there's different parts to the story. One is those people that were actively involved in this type of LG relationship. So they were destroyed, right? And then the second party was that party that was totally against it. Lut alayhi salam and some of his following. So Allah Ta'ala akhrajna man kana fiha min al-mu'minin. So those that were against it, Allah Ta'ala saved them all, right? But now it was a third person that was his wife. Now what does the Quran Sharif say about his wife? Because the wife supported this evil, filthy type of conduct. In three places I can offhand I can count. Kanat min al-ghabirin, qaddarnaha min al-ghabirin, fakhanatahuma falam yughniya. Right. One place Allah Pak says, she was amongst those people that were the perpetrators of the wrong. But all ulama are of the opinion she wasn't committing this LG type of activity. But she was supporting it. In some way she was encouraging it. She may have not been an active participant, but she was encouraging it, supporting that type of behavior. So Allah Ta'ala says, Kanat min al-ghabirin, when you are promoting this in some way through your pen or through your tongue, right, you are promoting this. When you're promoting this, then you are counted amongst those people that are the perpetrators. So the punishment that is decreed for the perpetrator is also for the person that is somehow supporting it with a signature, with a petition, whatever. But he's supporting that, now he becomes counted. Remember the day of Qiyamah, إِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. People will be gathered together, right? They'll be grouped according to their actions, their inclinations, and their tendencies. There's a tendency towards kufr, towards wrong activities, algae, whatever. But there before Allah Ta'ala, and the whole world is collected on one maidan, there it becomes plain and clear that this person belonged to this LG. Because he may have not been a participant, but somehow tacit approval or express approval, he did somehow approve of it, whether directly or indirectly. So now he is rated amongst the same group, because in some way he supported the whole case. So now, his wife wasn't at all guilty. She didn't commit the crime, but she supported this type of behavior. And Allah Ta'ala in very, very clear words says, Kanat, she's amongst them. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. Allah again says, she's cheated against the way of the husband. She cheated. So now, she also fell under divine wrath. So now, person isn't competent in dini matters, that he's not supposed to be poking his nose in this thing. But I don't have that knowledge. When I don't have the knowledge, then what gives me the right to speak about it? That means he must be competent, right? Like a person now, he's still learning to become a surgeon, still learning. And he wants to do a major operation. Then all of us will say, you know, it's wrong. Because you are still a novice. You don't know about this thing yet. You may kill the patient. The government knows about it, they'll sue you. So exactly the same here, when we haven't got the full knowledge, then our stance must be, I don't have the knowledge, it's wrong, but I don't have the full knowledge, I haven't captured all the information, so I'll remain silent, I'll just stay away from it. Not for it, not against it, because I don't know. But the wrong, I'll count it as a wrong, but I may not be supporting or going against, because I don't know what is the Shari stance. So that's the least amount that a Muslim can stand for, that I'm not for it, but I don't know what is the Shari stance. So when I don't know what the Shari stance is, I will remain silent. Those that know that Shari stance, ulama, great ulama, they will speak about it, and they speak about it clearly. This is wrong, we condemn it, it's haram, it's not natural behavior, and we'll condemn it. So we will not support it in any way. So these people that are condemning it, is like you condemning someone that's intruding into your private property. What will you say? He's breaking the unity. You will not say that. That's my right to look after my property. It's my right to look after my Islam and defend my Islam. That's what I'm going to do.